Now, is that a neat song? Would you say thank you, the dancers, and Lanu and Sharon for choreographing? Beautiful. Outstanding. Hey, by the way, you know, Pacific Rim Bible College is where we train young leaders, and we need and desire great exemplary leaders in the 21st century for our church in the future. And if we want a strong church tomorrow, we need to invest in them today. And so that's what the fundraiser is all about. So please do check it out at the concierge table after service and be a part of that. All right? Would you take out your notes today as we continue in our series called An Appointment with God? Each of us, as we grow with the Lord, will indeed have an appointment from time to time with Him as we come face to face. And we want to talk about God's immutable laws, His unbending justice, His unchangeable ways, rules, laws. I don't know if you're anything like me, I try to bend them. You know, I'm kind of, how many of you, be honest, are kind of like that? You bend the law a little bit. Raise your hand. Come on, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Yes, you're my friend. Yep, yep. Well, my wife is a stickler for rules. She loves laws. It's like the more rules, the better. She'd make a great Pharisee. My wife just loves these things. You know, if I'm going a mile over the speed limit, she'll say, obey the laws, obey the laws, obey the laws. In fact, she wants me to put my seatbelt on before I take it out of park. If she had her way, I'd be in a child restraint seat with a helmet on. And when I stop at a stop sign, it's like, stop, honey, you gotta stop. I said, it's almost stopping. It's just still going. No, you got. If she had her way, I'd have to turn the ignition off at every stoplight just to make sure I've stopped and then started again. But, you know, I take a look at some of these laws. They're kind of dumb. They're man-made laws. It's like we have this hair dryer. We've had it for like 10 years. And you know how you have one of those labels on it that says, you know, real tremendously intelligent rules like do not throw in bathtub while on. You know, duh, okay. On the other side, it says, and do not remove. Well, we've had it for 10 years, and I was taking it off. It's all tattered, and I was taking it off. My wife said, honey, obey the law, she said. I said, what? She said, it says do not remove. I said, honey, we own it. We paid for it already, you know, and we own it completely. We're taking it off. We know what it's saying. She said, honey, it says do not remove. Obey the law. So I thought, oh, good night. So you know what I do? Is I've been collecting dumb laws and dumb instructions over the years, and let me give you my top, like, five favorite ones. You want to hear them? Yeah, okay, here it is. Listen, here's one. This was on an iron. You know how you iron your clothes? It's called a Rowenta iron. You open it up, in big red words, it says this. Warning, do not iron clothes while on body. It kind of depends on whose body it's on when you're doing the ironing, you know? And I bought this string of Christmas lights from Home Depot about 2 years ago, I think it was. And I unwrapped it, and this is the funniest thing. It has a little warning label on it, and it says this, for indoor or outdoor use only. You know, I'm Portuguese, but even I could figure that one out. As opposed to like outer space use, what is this? And I was on American Airlines flying back into Honolulu, and I there's this package of peanuts, and I turned it over, and this is true. It says, and check it out if you're on American Airlines, sometimes it says instructions on this bag of peanuts. Instructions, open bag, eat peanuts. You could eat them first and then open them. You know, it might be a little difficult. And I was thinking, somebody got paid big bucks to write that one. Now, there's this Korean kitchen knife set. And you open it up. And this, something must have got lost in the translation because there's this red label on there. As soon as you open it up, and it says, warning, keep out of children. Depends if you like them or not. But I think here's my all-time favorite. This is on a chainsaw. You know, vroom. He opened this box up, and then it has this warning. Do not attempt to stop chain with your hands. Raise your hand if you've tried this one. No way. thinking, some of these man-made laws are so dumb. But you know what? There are laws of God that are not dumb, even though we don't understand them. God's laws are wise, and in fact, the book of Psalms says the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, I might not understand why, but they're perfect. Now, I want to let you in on a conversation that I had with a non-Christian university student. He asked me some questions, and I'm going to let you in on this conversation that I'll just sort of reenact for you, not because it was just his question or a question, but because it may be our questions as well. And we need to think through these. I was with this university student, and I was talking to him about the Lord, and he was kind of pushing back on me. And he says, wait a minute. He says, this God Christian stuff. You guys have just so many laws. Don't do this. Thou shalt not. And you guys just have rules after rule and law after law, all these do's and don'ts. And by the way, he said, there's a bunch of ways to heaven. There's not just like one. In fact, he said, you guys are so narrow-minded, you Christians. You're just a bunch of bigots. You just think your way is the only way. So he said, there's a lot of ways. Truth is not that narrow. And I stopped him and I said, let me answer both questions about God's laws and about bending his laws and also about truth being narrow. Truth is very narrow, I said. He said, yeah, see, that's you guys are just narrow-minded. I said, no. Truth is narrow. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you were handing in a test paper and the instructor asked you what is 2 plus 2, there is only one way to answer that. If you said 2 plus 2 equals like 4.1, guess what she's going to mark that answer? Like wrong. You can't say 2 plus 2 equals somewhere between 3.6 and 4.2. Somewhere in there. Oh, wrong. You see, 2 plus 2 equals what? Four, very good. And I was a little concerned there. I was going to prompt you if you needed some. But there's only one way to answer that. Why? Because truth is narrow. There's only one way to answer that. And if you want to know the truth of the world, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Truth is very narrow. And if it weren't, you wouldn't know how to answer questions. It would be diffused. Life would be diffused and your direction would be diffused. Your understanding would be diffused. Truth is very narrow. And he says, yeah, okay, well, what about all your laws then? You know, our culture changes because we're talking about some alternative lifestyles and violating God's laws. And he says, you guys are just too narrow. Culture is changing. You got to like change some laws about your Christian stuff, your religion. Just change it to match culture. I said, no. He said, see, that's the problem. That's the problem with you guys. You just think God's laws are like this and you can't violate them. As if you do, like you're a sinner, you're going to hell, all of that kind of stuff. I said, no, you don't want God's laws to change. He said, well, I do. It's culture. Change it with culture. I said, no. If rules change, you would start to complain. Said, what do you mean? I said, what if rules just change? Just for example, you go to pay your rent one day at the dorm and it's $5,000 instead of $500. And you say, hey, how come the rules were changed here? Oh, the landlord says, you know, it's my birthday and I thought I'd just change the rules. Would that bother you? I said, well, yeah. I said, what if you're going down the street and you get stopped by a cop and his lights are blaring, sirens going off, and you say, hey, officer, I was going 55 miles an hour. Oh, you know, today's my birthday. I turned 35, so we changed the rules at 35 miles an hour today. No. And you get your pay, and all of a sudden it goes from $12 an hour to $1.70 an hour. And you get this teeny weeny manini check and you go, hey, employer, what's the matter? Oh, we changed the rules today. No. Your life, your confidence depends on the stability of rules. And I said, not only that, God's law is forever. And he said, yeah, that's a problem. Let's read Isaiah 40 and verse 8 at the top of our notes together. Go. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands, how long? Forever. Underline those two words. Stands forever. Forever. Why? Because God's laws come from who he is. It's not something he makes up. And Hebrews 13:8 says it this way. Let's read the next one. Go. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and So his laws are the same because it's who he is. And when God put the stars in space and he put the planets in perfect orbit and rotation, he said, stand and stay, and they did. You don't want God's laws to change. I said, if they did, we'd be in trouble. You know, people set their watches according to the orbit of the planets and the rotation of them. Astronomers can define and they can predict to the second the next a lunar or solar eclipse in 20 years. Why? Because everything is in such precision, so precise, it stays still. That's the laws of God. Whether it be of gravity or inertia of motion or whatever it might be, God's laws, you don't want it to change. And he said, what do you mean? I said, if God's laws change just because you had a whim to change them, if God changed his laws at all, within a moment, we would have a cosmic collision. You would have seismic destruction in our solar system. If God decided to change the laws of gravity and orbit and rotation, there would be meteoric crashes and there would be the annihilation of planets immediately, and man would be obliterated and life as we know it would be fully exterminated. Tectonic plates would crash into each other and there would be massive earthquakes, and within moments, mankind would be history. You'd be roadkill. You're road rash. And he said, oh, yeah, I never thought about it that way. I said, that's right. You don't want God's laws to change. God's laws need to be firm. In fact, we find here in Psalm 33:9, let's read about his creation. Go. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and... How many of you are glad God's laws don't change in the universe and in the planetary systems? You see, our life expectancy, our health, our confidence, our existence depends on the fact that his laws don't change. You see, God has not only physical laws like gravity and inertia of motion, etc., but he also has not only physical but spiritual laws. Laws that should we violate the physical laws, it moves to destruction or death in our lives. And the same is true with spiritual laws. Spiritual laws of morality, spiritual laws of stewarding our lives, our bodies, our finances, relationships, treating one another correctly according to the scriptures, following his ways and his instructions and his statutes and his ordinance. Those are spiritual laws. And when we violate them, just like physical laws, the Bible says the wages or the consequences of sin will end up in what? Death. Same thing. He said, well, I kind of violate God's laws sometimes and nothing happens. You don't see it happen as the results or the consequences, but they're in motion right now. It's sort of like you take a flower and you cut it. It still smells good. It still looks nice, but it's on its way down because it's been disconnected from its life source. And a lot of times we think, oh, our lives still look pretty, but we're a cut flower generation. We think it's fine. But death is at work in us, the Bible says. You need to be connected to the source of life. And the Bible says the wages or the results of sin is you cut your life source off and you think you're fine, but death worketh in you, the scripture says, through sin. So we understand that God has physical laws and that he has spiritual laws, and the violation of those brings death. And so what God is saying is, I have designed the laws in such a way that if you understand my laws and cooperate them, there's a confidence, there is a joy, there is a sense of assurance, because you know that you're not violating something and you're not going down the wrong trail and ending up in death. In fact, if you're going to grow in Christ, here's the first thing you need to do. Would you write down number one, take time to know God and his laws. Take time to know God and his laws. See, the Pharisees knew his laws here in their head, but they didn't want to walk in them. They just figured violating them is fine. And Jesus replies to them, and he says this. Let's read the scripture. Go. Jesus replied, your problem is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. I said to this university student, you'll need to know God's laws so that there's a sense of freedom. He says, oh, no, no. The more laws like a religion puts on you, it just like binds you up. It imprisons you. And I said, maybe man's laws, but God's laws, when you know his laws, it doesn't imprison you. It frees you up. It gives you confidence. He said, what? Yeah, because I know what roads not to go down because I know God's way. So I don't spend time darting down these dead-end rabbit trails that end in death. And I lose a life. I lose a year or two of my life because I tried something that doesn't work. Now I'm in worse shape. I don't have to spend 2 years of my life trying what God already said is going to end up in death. Why should I even try that? So there's a confidence to move forward. There's a freedom. There's an assurance. And I move forth with confidence. The more you know God's laws, it doesn't bind you up. It frees you up. Huh? Let me tell it to you this way. Some time ago, I was in a rush going somewhere. And I got behind this nice old lady. She was like 250 years old. And I got behind her. Now, I'm in the turning lane, so I can't get around her, you know. So I just kind of, and as I'm going towards the intersection now, the light turns yellow. And she stops for the yellow light. And I'm thinking, no, don't do this. And she's waiting for it to turn red. And so, boop, it turns red. And I think, that's good, woman, that's good. And so she's waiting. Now, there's one thing about our laws here in Hawaii. If there's a one-way street that you're going toward, you're perpendicular to, you're going to turn right. And if you're in the far right-hand lane and there's no sign that says you can't, you can look. And if it's clear, you can turn on a red light. Well, she had her blinker going and she just stays there. And she's blinking, kind of like reminding me, warning me what she's going to do tomorrow. And I'm thinking, woman. And I look down the street like there's no cars coming for like 3 days. And she's got this thing blinking. Now, I don't like it when people behind me honk at me. And so I use my mouth so that, you know, nobody can hear me. But I get the kind of like the joy, the satisfaction of thinking that I'm beeping. So I'm sitting behind my wheel. I'm going, beep, 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 beep. Babe, babe, turn, hello, babe. And so she's just waiting there. It's click, click, click. And I'm thinking, come on, woman, turn. You can turn, turn. Read your driver's manual. And, you know, I can entertain myself. I don't need anybody to be around. I just love it. So I'm, babe, hello, beep, read your manual, hello. And so finally it turns green. And she slowly takes her foot off the brake and puts it on the gas. And I'm waiting there. And I'm saying to her, woman, the light's not getting any greener. That's as green as it's going to get. Promise. Slowly she takes off. And I go around her. And again, she can't hear me. So this is for like my own satisfaction. So as I'm going around her, I say to her, I say, hey, read your driver's manual. You know, I keep a spare bumper sticker. When I do stuff like that, it says First Baptist. No, I just joke. That's a joke. No, I don't do that. I'm lying. So, but so I get around her and I'm just complaining to God. God, I said, if she would just read her driver's manual, she'll know that she can turn right on a red light if there's no cars coming, if she's in the right-hand lane. Come on. And then just then, it's like the Lord said, and that is true with my word as well. You see, if you know my laws, it doesn't bind you up, it frees you. And the more you know my ways, the more assurance and confidence you'll have to be able to progress forward and move without hesitation. Because if you don't know my laws, Wayne, if you don't know my ways, you'll be ambivalent, you'll be indecisive. You won't know your assignment that I'm giving to you. You won't know what I want you to do in life. The more you know my laws, the more you know my ways, you'll have confidence to move forward, not because you don't know my laws, but because you do. And it won't bind you up. It will free you up. The first thing is get to know God's laws. Get to know them. Now you say, well, what's one of the ways to do it? Let me tell you the best way. Would you write it down in the bullet? Be disciplined in your daily devotions. Be disciplined in your daily devotions. I can't think of a better way to do that than daily sitting before the Lord and reading through His scriptures, little by little, because our brains can only hold so much. And if you just read tons of stuff, you lose it all. But if you read little slices of it, one by one, these gems get deposited into your life like layers of varnish that gives a depth to and sheen to a beautiful table. You need it day by day. In fact, in the Old Testament, God would speak to the kings and said, I want you to write and read the law daily as long as you live so that you won't veer off and you won't miss my laws. And because if you don't know my laws, that's what will bind you up. In fact, let's read it together. Deuteronomy 17, go. He shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Yeah, it's a discipline that we must develop. In fact, let's read the next scripture. Go. Discipline yourself for the purpose of... Who's going to discipline you for godliness? Yourself. Yeah, underline that. Discipline whom? Yourself. And then go up in the Deuteronomy 17, and it'll tell you another thing you have to do for yourself. He shall write for himself. Underline that. You see, if you have not started your devotions, daily devotions, can I challenge you to read through the Bible with me? Outside, there's some journals, some reading, some Bible programs that'll help you to go through the scriptures in a systematic way. And it's the very same one that I read. Let's do it together. And as we daily sit before God's Word and write and read it, you'll begin to understand His laws, and it will take you from being bound up to that which is being freed up. And there'll be a confidence and assurance. And when there's that proclivity, that tendency to dart down a rabbit trail that ends in death, you'll recognize it before even going into it. I tell you, it'll save you years and years of making major mistakes because you know God's laws. So I'll encourage you. And by the way, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock at the Lead Center, we have our midweek service that whatever you're reading in, like right now we're in the Song of Solomon and finished off Ephesians, whatever we'll be reading in, that's what we'll be giving context on, and we'll be speaking on that so that when you do your devotions after the Wednesday night, you'll have a much greater background, history, and context, and you say, ah, now I got it, and it'll make so much more sense to you on that. So that's Wednesdays at 7 at the Lead Center. But be disciplined in your daily devotions. Now, that's stage one in your growth in Christ. But let me ask you to graduate from just knowing God's Word and His law. Because a lot of people know God's Word, but that's as far as they go. The Pharisees knew it, but they didn't apply it. If you're going to graduate into this next level of faith and maturity to grow as a Christian, would you write down number two, not only know God's Word, but would you write number two, learn to love and obey God's laws? Now, many know His laws. Yeah, I know what I'm doing is wrong or right or this or that. Yeah, I know. That's stage one. It's good that you know it, but it's until you graduate to stage two that you'll never understand His blessings, His provision. And I want everyone to put on like a cap and gown today and graduate in the second level, which is not only know God's Word, but love and obey God's laws. In fact, let's read Psalm 119. You'll see. Go. Those who love your law have great peace and do not... Those who what? Those who... Would you circle the word love? God is saying, I want you to love my laws, because if you just know them, you might do them, but your heart is not transformed at all. You've seen kids where they do something their parents ask them to do, but I don't like it. And so they will not continue it if the parents don't breathe down their neck. And as soon as parents are gone, they go buckle loose another way. Why? Because they knew it, but they didn't have their heart changed, and because they didn't love God's laws. And God is saying the most important thing is not just know my laws. The Pharisees knew that. I want you to love the laws of God, to obey them. I remember telling my daughter Amy, honey, clean your room. I don't want to clean my room. Have mommy clean my room. No, she's not going to clean your room. You clean your own room. I don't want to clean your room. Okay, I'll clean my room. You want me to clean? You want me to put this away? There, I'll put that away. Want me to put my clothes away? There, it's in the closet. And I thought, you turkey. See, she was going through the motions, but her heart, she didn't love what she was doing. So what happens is if your heart is the same, you can be doing a task but you will not continue it because you don't love it. God doesn't want to change your actions. He wants to change your what? Your heart. Because then the actions will continue. It won't be temporary. The heart has to change. And that's why constantly through the Word, you'll see Him talking about delighting in God's laws. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Proverbs 7, verse 1. Thy word have I treasured in my heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself. What? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I treasured or hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. In my what? In my heart. Not my head. I hid that in my heart. The whole first chapter of Psalms. Blessed or happy is a man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, walks in the way of sinners. But here it is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates both day and night. The result? He'll be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, that yields its fruit in due season, whose leaves will never fade. Whatever he does, he prospers. You understand? What was that salient verse? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Constantly through the scriptures, you will see the Lord speaking about our heart to love to obey. You know why it's so important? Because when you're not being supervised, you'll want to be able to continue to follow His ways. I'll tell you why. Because God has wired it up in such a way that as you follow His instructions, understanding His laws, as you follow His instructions, at the end is a blessing. In the end is His promise. In the end is His reward. But you don't get that unless you go through the path of obedience. But if I don't think obedience is necessary, I'll try a shortcut. But you'll miss it. Everything that God has planned for your life and future in the beginning, you will never apprehend. You will forfeit or you will substitute with a far lesser promise and you'll settle for mediocrity. And the devil will lie to you and say, that's what's wonderful. Woo-hoo! And it is far inferior to what God has for you. God says, love my ways because as you do, everything that I have for you, that a father has in store for his son or his daughter will be at the end of the pathway of obedience. That's the only way you'll get there. There's only that way. For example, let's say I called Aaron, my son, up and I said, Aaron, meet me at this cafe by Ala Moana at 5:30 because I got something for you. And now make sure you go up King Street and down Keaomoku because there's a parade going on and you'll get caught in it. So you got to follow my instructions now. Go up here through King, come down Keaomoku there, and then you meet me at this restaurant. 5:30 now because I got another appointment, but I got something for you. Oh, yeah, okay, Dad, all right. Now let's say his friends say, hey, bro, let's go surfing. They got South Swell. Oh, great, yeah. And so he takes out his board and he goes surfing. And then he goes to dinner with his friends. And then he goes, oh, 7:30, my dad said meet him 5:30. Okay, sometime around now. So he goes and he makes it to the cafe. And what my dad? He called me, hey, Dad, you said meet you at this cafe. I said, Aaron, 5:30. Yeah, I know. 7:30, okay, well. You know, what I had for you, you don't get to have. Well, you mean you don't love me no more? No, listen to this. You still have my love, but you ain't got my blessings. Because I was going to give you $10,000, but now all you got is my love. See, I want you to know that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Height nor depth, angels, principalities, any kind of sin you're into, you still are loved dearly by God. You have His love. But His blessings only come through obedience. He's wired it that way. It's in a package. And so God says, I want you to love obeying or obedience because in doing so, you'll recognize, and here's the bullet, that His blessings follow obedience. His blessings follow obedience. Let's read what we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 in the English version. You see, God has His blessings that He's designed from the beginning of time. And He's kind of set it that way. Pre-designed it that way. Set the course of His blessings that will be found through this route called obedience. And as you stay in obedience to Him, He says, I promise you'll be provided for. I promise your future will be great. I promise, or my promise is at the end of this pathway of obedience. And if I don't want to obey and I think I got a better idea, then I'll settle for a substitute of some kind of that looks like, but it ain't what God's best would be. It only comes at the end of obedience, the pathway. And let's read what Ephesians 1 says. Go. All things are done, here it is, according to God's plan and decision, based on what He had decided from the very beginning. God's designed it. And if you'll work with Him and not violate His physical laws or spiritual laws, God says, I promise, you'll be provided for and it'll be the best. The laws of the Lord are perfect, Psalm says. And the more you love it, the more you'll receive God's best. We live in a culture that gives us a substitute, and a very poor substitute, and almost demeans you if you say, no, I want God's way, because I know God's way is the best. And you'll be demeaned. You'll need to stand stalwart and say, no, God's law is perfect, and I will settle for nothing less than God's best. Let me tell you a story of what happened. I was going to golf one day, and so the pro at the club at one of the EVA courses went to this church, so he invited me to play golf with him. Now, I'm kind of nervous because this is a pro. He's super good. I'm really bad at golf, but I went to golf with him because when you golf with the pro of a club, it's free. So I went. And now this guy is good. You know how pros, when they hit, just like, oh, la, 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 la. And it just takes off like a rocket. Just straight as can be. And you know, I'm a duffer. So you just kind of hack at it. You know, yeah, boom, and just boom, 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 boom. Yeah, boom, and boom, 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 boom. And so this was happening two or three holes. And I was just kind of reconstructing the whole golf course and with my club. So he just stopped me and gave me a 911 golf lesson. And the first thing he said is, Wayne, this is a golf club, not a backhoe. This is a golf club. And then he said to me, now, I want you to know that it has been meticulously designed and crafted in such a way that if you use it the way it was designed, the ball will respond accordingly. And then he said this, I promise. You see, what happens sometimes is we do it our own way and we don't cooperate with God's design. What the pro was saying is basically, Wayne, your first lesson is learn how this whole thing was designed. Second, learn to consistently work with the design. And I promise it'll get better and better and better. But you see, what we do is we just hack the ball. Yeah, boom, we hit it. And when the ball doesn't go anywhere, you know what we do? We throw what? The club. Stupid club. It ain't the club that stupid. We won't go any further and describe who is, but I tell you, it ain't the club. But sometimes we do that and we think, God, how come? We want to throw God. God's not good. I don't need to obey Him. I don't need to listen to Him. I got my own way. And the Lord's saying, no, no, no. I've designed it from the beginning. And I have wired it in such a way that if you'll follow my ways, I promise, you will see my provision and my embrace. And God's promises never fail. So the second thing is we need to love and obey His word and His laws. And he says, honey, I promise your future will be good. But if you choose the other way, then you'll forfeit that and you'll substitute for something that's a cut flower that looks good for now, but death is working in you. And we say, oh, okay, Lord, help me to delight. Now, you might sit there and you say, you know, Wayne, I've already blown it then. I have gone the wrong way and violated everything. What do I do now? Is there any hope? Absolutely. I want you to understand that your greatest weapon against the enemy, the greatest weapon against sin or violating God's command, the greatest weapon against the devil is not a bazooka. Your greatest weapon against the devil is not a grenade. Your greatest weapon against the devil, here it is, would you write down number three? Learn the power of repentance. Learn the power of repentance. That's your greatest weapon against the devil. He can't do a thing when you repent with a genuine sense of repentance now. Repentance is not saying, God, I'm sorry, so let me continue violating your law. Mm-mm. No, God does not break or bend his law for you when I break it. No. Now he will, the regal majesty, the king, will bend his posture to bring mercy to the lawbreaker. But he will not bend his law or break his law to match me. He will bend his regal posture to give mercy, to restore me, to give me another chance to understand his ways and his principles that I might receive his blessings through obedience, heartfelt obedience. So repentance is a heartfelt asking for forgiveness. Now watch this. When I am in sin, I'm vulnerable to the enemy's lies, his ruse, his deceptions. But as soon as I repent, genuinely repent, watch this. It's like the blood of Christ, the embrace of the Lord, protects me from the wiles of the enemy. You understand? Repentance is your most powerful weapon against the enemy. Because when you repent, it is his power and his protection that bathes you, not your own dukes or your fists or your wisdom or your ability or competency. No. It's his power. Your greatest weapon against sin is repentance. And when you repent, God hears your prayer and restores you to give you another chance to understand his ways as he tutors you and helps you learn to obey so that you'll receive his blessings. Solomon, the wisest king of all, was talking about this. Let's read the scripture in 2 Chronicles and you'll see. And he's talking to God and he says this. Let's read it. Go. When they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and if they repent, and if they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul, then hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, their prayer and supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Yeah. No, don't bend your laws for me, God. It would cause a cosmic collision. No, don't change rules because then everything will be upset and we won't know what's going on. We'll be ambivalent. We'll be indecisive. We'll be afraid and fearful. We won't know what to do. No. No, Lord, keep your laws strong. Keep your rules the same. But Lord, when I mess up, here's what it's saying. Would you bend to me and give me mercy? Keep your laws and your ways the same. But give me mercy so that I might learn thy ways and turn my heart back to you. And the Lord says, I'll hear your prayer if you pray that. I will. You want to have a just judge who's a God. You don't want someone lobbying for you. Really? I do. No, you don't. You see, if you have a judge that's partial and you're at court with somebody that you're at odds with, if that person is really wrong and the judge is partial to you, you think, woohoo, that's good. Yeah, but not just put the shoe on the other foot. What if you're the other person and the judge is partial to the other one? What happens to you? You don't want a judge that shows partiality. You want a very just judge. And if you're wrong, you still don't want him to show partiality to you. You just want him to show you, if your heart's right, mercy. Now here's the cool thing about God. God is our judge. But let's read what James 2 says about the mercy of God. Let's read it. Go. God's mercy toward you will win out over his... Woo-wee. Isn't that beautiful? God's mercy is absolutely powerful. No, he won't bend his rules. But through obedience, he will give mercy to you so that you'll be restored in relationship. Because it's when you have a right relationship with God, blessings begin to flow. Let me finish it with this story that I think I've told some of you before, but let's just say there's a professional baseball player dad. He's every time he stood up to the plate in the National League, he would nail a home run. This guy was just the best of the best. But he's coming to the point of retirement. Let's say he's got a 12 or 13 year old son that shows some interest in baseball. And the father would just delight to teach him everything he knows about baseball. Everything. Because he would love his son to just be the best of the best. Now, this father has disciplined himself, worked very hard to gain and accumulate all of the skill and competence and ability of a professional baseball player. And he says, I want to give that to you, my son, because I am retiring, but I want you to do this. So he starts training his son. He takes him out to a baseball diamond. He says, son, I want you to stand like this. Yep, perpendicular to the pitcher. I want you to distribute your weight. All right, I want you to bring your bat up. Yep, put your right elbow up. Uh-huh. Now watch, when the pitch comes, you're going to have to determine at a certain place in the pitch, not when it arrives there. Now at a certain proximity to you, if you're going to swing, you've got to decide at that point. And if you're going to swing, you first snap your hip so that your weight exchanges from your back foot to your front foot. And then the centrifugal force of that bat comes through. You watch that ball now. You just meet that ball. And the boy says, whoa, 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 whoa. You know how many rules you just gave me? Too many rules. I don't want all these rules. They're confusing me. I don't want to stand this way. I want to stand on the plate. No, no, son. Stand this way and distribute your weight and keep your right elbow. No, no. I'm tired. Tired of your rules. I just want to stand on the plate. I just want to whack the ball. Whack the ball. No, 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 no. Son, stand this way. Distribute your weight. Keep your right elbow. No, that's it. I pow. I don't want to stay here no more. No, please, please, please. No, too many rules. No. Once you get it down, I tell you, it's just all natural and everything will be disciplined and it works this way. I promise. No, I don't want to do it. No. And you know, it doesn't matter how much that father wants to transfer all that he has to his son. Everything of his competency, everything of his ability, his knowledge, his wisdom, his insight on baseball, he wants to give it freely to his son. But that transference will only be possible if that son is willing to be what? Obedient. Now listen carefully. Everything of the Father's inheritance is possible to be transferred to you only through obedience. Well, he will still love his son, but his blessings, his inheritance, will not be transferred to him. There needs to be that relationship. I want to encourage you to not only know God's ways, but love to obey his ways. Because here's what Luke 12 says. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See what he's saying? It is my delight to give you everything that I have in store for you. But it only is transferable through obedience and a relationship with God. As you grow, stage one is know God's law. But stage two, graduate today to love and obey. And when you do, it will be the Father's delight to give you the kingdom. And that's what we want too. Can you say amen to that? Hey, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads as we conclude in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your spirit that teaches us and helps us to grow, not to be static, but to grow in you. So, Lord, I ask that you would seal to our hearts the things that you're teaching us today. With your heads bowed, if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I have a hard time sometimes with the rules. I bend them. And I wonder why God doesn't bend them and just let me do what I want to do. I sometimes feel like, oh, God, you're just pinching my style. You're cramping my style. But I'm understanding that I don't want God to change his laws and his ways. It would be cosmically a destructive thing. And the same is true with spiritual laws. Lord, I just really want your strength and your power to be able to do what you want me to do and receive all the blessings and the promises that are available only through obedience. Lord, I repent. Lord, I just need your mercy, your mercy. If that's you, would you just raise a hand and in doing so you say, Lord, that's me. Would you give me your strength? Would you help me, Lord, with your mercy? Yeah, yeah. You can put your hands down. And if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I need to begin a relationship with Christ. I mean, I haven't even begun one. I mean, I've been to church and all, and I've heard about Christ, but God knows I need forgiveness. And I want to restore a broken relationship with God. Because I've been going the other way. I want to accept him into my heart as my Lord and Savior, because I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. I need a Forgiver. So, Lord, would you do that? Would you forgive me of my sins? and give me a new beginning so that I might get to know you and walk with you. That's my heart, Lord. If that's your heart, would you raise a hand? Doing so, you're saying, yes, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Okay, yeah, I need your salvation. Yep, yeah, I need your redemption. Okay, you too, yeah, yeah. All right, yeah, okay, on the sides, yeah, yeah, yeah. If this is the first time you've opened your heart to Christ, outside there'll be some ushers with some yes packets, and they'll hold them over their heads. And when you see one of them, just say, hey, could I get one of those yes packets? I said yes to Jesus, yes to his invitation to forgiveness. In that packet is a Bible and some follow-up material. It'll help you immensely in your first few steps with Jesus. And then don't forget about water baptism today at 3:00. What a powerful public acclamation of the fact that I'm going to die to my old ways and I'm going to live to God's from this moment on. That is a powerful thing that you make a statement in public. That's at 3:00. But I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer. And I tell you, God will hear your prayer. Solomon told us that in 2 Chronicles. So let's pray. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Forgive me of my sins and make me the person you want me to be. I will follow you willingly with a whole heart. And so I say this so everyone hears me, so you hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him and to Jesus alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, thanks for hearing our prayer, which is the cry of our hearts. And Lord, would you embrace this wonderful family and help us to graduate today from just knowing your word to loving and obeying your word. That is so important for us to be fruitful in the things that you have for us, and to apprehend, gain the inheritance of our future, your promises. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to seal these things to our hearts so that we'll walk in them. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision for the first time to follow Christ.
Let's stand together as we conclude. Well, it's a beautiful day. So we have water baptism at 3. Don't forget anything with Pac Rim or the concierge or things outside. But let's conclude by praying, and then we will sing our final song. But would you reach out? Take hold of the person's hand next to you one more time. Lord, thank you for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for them loving us enough to hold us accountable to you. We treasure your word. Thank you for these who do the same. We call them family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless the ones that will be being baptized today, Lord. May this be the beginning of a whole new future as we learn to walk with you into your promises for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Thank the Lord, would you?
Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
On your way out, which